It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White, is alongside Owen Pulley in HD1 Studios, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
Good afternoon, and this is the Sports Spotlight. And once again, thanks to Owen for making that intro.
You know,
you're welcome.
You know, one of the best things about that intro is that when it's on the air, you hear Owen do it live in studio.
I do it live every time it plays.
Wait, you do?
So maybe.
Yeah, I do. I like the, you can't ever forget with the bells, though, the good old Dave Lindsay. Yeah. It's third down.
Third down.
I like that.
It's a good one.
He's a good PA guy.
I don't know why Dave Lindsay got drawn into this. Mr. Lindsay, hello if you're listening.
Every time I hear the bells, I think of it.
Oh.
Whenever I hear the bells, I think of The Undertaker, which is that's his theme under the,
the track. But I'm saying with the bells, they always play the bells.
Mm. Jackson, when he hears the bells, he just sits up randomly?
Yeah.
Yes. Every time.
Yes.
But today is Tuesday, February 15th. I'm your host, Jackson White, here with Owen Pulley, and joining us, WBDG General Manager John Easter, also sitting in on the show. And we got a good one coming your way. The Super Bowl was this past Sunday, which the Rams came out victorious over the Bengals 23-20. And we'll talk about that. Super Bowl, some stuff came out about Carson Wentz over the past couple days, so we'll talk about that. That is something interesting. The Pacers have seemed to be fun again. They're still losing, which is, that's what we want them to do, but they seem to have kind of a spark and some energy to this team. The Hoosiers take on Wisconsin tonight on ESPN2. That's going to be a big matchup, as the Hoosiers have been on a spiral downhill after really ever since beating Purdue. And then some more as well. But we'll start off with the Super Bowl, and the Rams beat the Bengals 23-20. And that game was just all over the place.
Oh yeah, it was a good game that came out of the great halftime show. You got to say great halftime show.
It was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Come out of that halftime show, and they throw the touchdown first play. I believe it was 75 yards, 85 yards. Then they get the interception, and as soon as he picked it off, sure they only got 3 points out of that play, but when they scored, I was like, The Bengals are winning the Super Bowl. They're winning right here, and they're just gonna. And then the Rams scored, but then I was still like, okay, they're still up. They're gonna win. Well, and then they blew it, or not blew it, but you know.
Well, let's backtrack. Let's not start in the second half. Let's start in the first half.
Yeah, we gotta talk. Yeah, we gotta talk about that. That was
we were backing up there.
The first half of the game, which was this game was back and forth all night. At halftime, it was 10. To 13 was your score. The Rams had a 3-point lead going into the halftime show. And first drive, really, Odell Beckham Jr. comes out, scores a touchdown. He's the first touchdown of the game. Later, Odell Beckham goes out. Beckham was looking to have a crazy good day, and he already had a touchdown. And he finished with 52 yards on the game, only 2 receptions. He went out, tore an ACL, so he's most likely going to be on the shelf for the start of next season as well. So any stock that he built up over this past couple of, let's say, games with the Rams is going to plummet because he's now hurt. And that's the second big knee injury in the past couple of years. And, I mean, Odell Beckham Jr.'s stock is going to skyrocket down.
It was the same knee, too, that he tore earlier.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, the Rams are going to obviously keep him because he's comfortable there. He likes it there. But he is going to be kept for cheap because he's not going to be worth anything because he's hurt again. So that's just something to keep an eye out for. But the first half, it was just back and forth. I thought it would be more high scoring than it was, but at halftime, 13-10, we saw all kinds of things. Joe Mixon throwing a touchdown in the end zone, that was wild. Ben Davis alum Chris Evans got a reception in the third quarter. I think he had a wide open route that he had in the first half, but Burrow missed him.
Yeah,
so
overthrown.
That could have gone the distance. He was wide open, but this game, the first half, was just really just slow. And then, like Owen said, in the third quarter, we all know what happened. Really, the first play of the third quarter, the PI call that was offensive PI that was not called on Jalen Ramsey ended up going. The Bengals score 10-3 in the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter, the Rams scored 7. The Bengals did not score anything. And then obviously the last play of the game, Joe Burrow, 4th-and-1. Practically the last game of the game, 4th-and-1. Burrow just missed a read. And
he got sacked.
I don't think he missed the read. He just didn't have enough time.
No, he had time because there was a tight end on the left side of the field that was wide open. He snapped the ball. They were all paying attention to Chase, and the tight end was wide open left side of the field.
That's not how I saw it, but okay.
I saw the play, and it was. I mean, Aaron Donald had that game-winning sack, or not sack, but forced interception in the NFC Championship game against Jimmy G. Got up to him.
Jimmy G.
Ended up throwing the interception, and then had the pointed to his finger for the ring, and then did the same thing against Joe Burrow. Had that. Essentially, he didn't throw an interception, but it was an incomplete pass, and then he pointed to the ring again, and they ended up winning.
That would be my only quarrel with anything that happened in the Super Bowl, was that Aaron Donald probably should have been the MVP.
Oh, I thought he was going to get it, especially after that last play.
You know, Cooper Kupp, tremendous player, made the big plays there. The no-look pass from Matt Stafford, that was pretty cool.
That was pretty.
Pretty icy. Not a Hall of Famer yet, but we'll get to that maybe later.
I think it will be.
Matt Stafford, a Hall of Famer?
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Hall of Famer, Hall of Really Good, but continue.
Okay. I don't know how Matt Stafford gets in the Hall of Famer, just Hall of Fame. I mean, I understand that, you know, he was the Detroit Lions quarterback and people want to make him feel good, but he's not a Hall of Famer. Anyway, I really thought that Aaron Donald had the better game and certainly was more impactful player, even though Cooper Kupp really had a great drive there at the end. And, that's just my opinion. But I really enjoyed the Super Bowl. I thought it was a well-played game by both teams. Certainly I think it really exposed some of the real deficiencies on the Bengals as a team. Certainly that offensive line, somebody's going to have to do something with that, or Joe Burrow's going to end up stuck in a dumpster somewhere by somebody. He is too much of a generational talent to just leave unprotected. Like, I mean, we've seen that. Dan Marino. Dan Marino had a quick release. He didn't have much trouble. Dan Marino never was injured.
Until his
very end of his career where he injured his Achilles. But I'm talking more like Andrew Luck, more like Peyton Manning to a certain extent here. Peyton took a beating, and that obviously limited probably his career at the end with the neck injury and then everything that happened with that. So, you know, I think certainly they're going to have to look at that because they're going to spend some money on offensive line there in Cincinnati, or else Joe Burrow is going to be one of those guys that's like – trending every so often on Twitter about what would have happened. Not anyone like Andrew Luck, who seems to trend every time a quarterback does well. Andrew Luck trends from Indianapolis. So I think the Bengals really need to do something with that. But still, I mean, Joe Burrow had him right there, put that team on his back, carried him where they were. Defense had a great game, I thought, for the most part. It's hard to hold that Rams offense down. That's such a good unit in what they put together there with the Rams, with Matt Stafford, with Cooper Kupp, with, OBJ, him going out. I don't recall a Super Bowl having the kind of injuries that we saw.
We saw the torn key ACL. Players.
Right.
We saw Joe Burrow go down with possibly, a lot of people are saying that it could be a not torn or ACL, but possibly like a damaged ACL.
Yeah, we don't know. We'll probably never know.
Yeah, we saw, I think those were the two big injuries, but.
But those were to key players.
Yeah.
Certainly. And then Cooper Kupp like disappeared for part of the game because I think the Bengals were doing such a good job on him. And then suddenly he reemerged right when it counted. And they made the plays. And, you know, once again, we get a Super Bowl that comes right down to the end, and, that didn't used to be the norm. If you go back and look at some of the scores of the Super Bowl, you have more that ended in blowouts than ended in, last-second heroics. So that's become more of a recent deal in the Super Bowl.
I do want to bring up something, though, with the last play of the game. It was fourth one they had. Joe Mixon was not on the field. And that was a big play that they say that he could have been open, or a run play where he would have had a hole wide open to get a first down, maybe some more, and they just never did.
It's so easy to second guess, yeah. You know, especially when you're talking about coaching and personnel on the field, and, you know, maybe what we'd seen Joe Mixon just run into guys all game, you know. We'd seen that happen. Maybe he would have provided an extra weapon. But I don't know. It's hard to get into that, especially when you're not the coach.
Well, you look at it, and you look at the Bengals and the Rams. Even though they lost a couple of years ago, they've been there. The Bengals are extremely
absolutely inexperienced. Nobody really expected the Bengals to be there, even when they won the AFC North.
Oh yeah, I mean, didn't even have them win a playoff.
It's a really nice story. Oh wait, they won a playoff game. Oh yeah, it's still a really nice story. Oh wait, they
won again.
They're the AFC championship. Oh yeah, that's a great story. Wait, they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, when they were down 21-3 to the Chiefs, I was like, oh, the Chiefs. I was like, oh, that sucks. They're going to three straight Super Bowls. We'll see. But I will say, for the Rams though, that was way better than 13-3. That what they had in what, 2018.
Yeah.
I believe. That was such a low scoring game.
16 combined points, lowest in Super Bowl history.
But now you look at the Bengals, and obviously you hit on it spot on. Their offensive line is terrible.
Yeah.
That's obvious. The thing about the Bengals is they got hot at the right time.
Absolutely.
If the Bengals come back with the same roster next season, I don't even know if they're going to win the division.
Well, who are you looking at in that division, though? You've got the Ravens back. They'll be full strength, but you've got serious quarterback concerns at both the other places division.
That's the only team that is questionable. I mean, the
Steelers. I mean, Roethlisberger.
I don't think the Steelers are going to do anything. I don't think they're that good.
If they get Pickett.
The Browns, you know, they've got major questions there. Is Baker Mayfield still the guy? Is he going to be, or is Aaron Rodgers, does he end up, you know, you have Aaron Rodgers going all these different places. I've seen him, you know, so many fake Photoshop uniform Aaron Rodgers is everywhere, from Tampa Bay to Indianapolis to Cleveland.
A lot of people are saying Denver.
San Francisco. I've seen, you know, it's still going to require a trade to get him, and it's going to be a significant trade. Do you want to give up that much to get Aaron Rodgers, who might, you know, just blow up your season?
I don't know.
I mean, I know he's a great player. I know he's the MVP, but, you know, you get a lot of baggage, too, when Aaron Rodgers comes over, and who knows what he's going to say every week on Pat McAfee's show.
Right.
So, you know, you get a lot of baggage when Aaron Rodgers comes around your team. So you have to give up a lot, and then you've got that whole part of it, too.
I've heard a lot of things about the Packers going really all out for Rodgers. They're going to try to keep him as much. Obviously, they should. He's a back-to-back MVP. Four MVPs, one short of tying the lead with Manning with five.
He's arguably the best quarterback you've ever had in that franchise of great quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think he's better than Favre was as a quarterback. And
don't forget about Bart Starr.
That is true. Bart Starr did win the first two Super Bowls ever in history for Green Bay. But
don't forget about Don Majkowski.
Don Majkowski, yeah. I don't.
You can forget about Don Majkowski.
That doesn't ring a bell ever. I'm gonna be completely honest. I've never heard of Don Majkowski.
Don't forget about. I'm running out of
Matt Flynn.
There you go. Don't forget about him.
Yeah. What's his name? Jordan Love.
Jordan Love.
He's a generational quarterback.
The heir apparent.
I think what's funny is everybody was like, when he got drafted, 2 years ago? They're like, oh, Rodgers might be out. This might be a whole thing with Favre. And then he goes back-to-back MVP.
Well, that was the whole thing with Rodgers, though.
Yeah, everybody's like, it's going to be like Rodgers to Favre.
He didn't get consulted before,
right?
You know? I don't know.
But now going back to the AFC North.
Yes.
AFC North.
The AFC North, yes. The Bengals, obviously in the Super Bowl, they got hot at the right time.
Yep.
And you look at the divisions. And their division, they still have, I mean, every single team in that division, you give them a good quarterback, they're going to be competitive. The Browns.
The Ravens already have a good quarterback, Jackson.
Oh, I know that. I'll get to that in a second.
Okay. Jackson. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. But you look at the Browns, Baker Mayfield was hurt all season. Yeah. Dude, will he return to the form he was the season prior? I don't know.
Which was an average quarterback.
But decent. Okay. But they have a really good defense.
I would still take Baker Mayfield in a lot of ways.
I mean, he had a decent sophomore year. But they have a really good running back in Nick Chubb. They have Kareem Hunt. They have good receiving core, even though they lost Odell Beckham Jr.
Solid defense.
A good defense with a good cornerback, obviously Myles Garrett. That team's going to be tough. I think they kind of underperformed this season. You know they're going to run the ball well. And
you know the Steelers will be at least 9-7 or 8-8.
Oh, yeah. You know
I'm sorry, 10-7 or 9-8. I think they'll be somewhere around there.
I think there are a lot of people or a lot of the mock drafts where Pickett was probably going to go to Pittsburgh, could go to Pittsburgh, and he'll play to Pitt. I think that stadium very well.
I think Pittsburgh would be I still think they're the worst team in that division as of right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
As they stand, let's see what they do in free agency, but that's another conversation for another day. But then you have the Ravens, a team that went down. All their starting cornerbacks were gone. Humphrey was gone. Peters was gone most of the year. Their running backs, I mean, they had lost every single one of their running backs.
They were a mass unit. The fact that they were still in contention at the end was a tribute to John Harbaugh.
And they were the one seed for a while until Lamar Jackson went down.
Yeah.
The Ravens are still going to be good next season. They have one of the best coaches in the league, and they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yep.
And right there, and they have a good defense, even though they were banged up last season. They still have playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens are going to be good next season unless they get banged up again, or we'll see. Obviously, the Bengals probably right now and the betting odds have the best chance to win it again. But they have to address the problems because teams are going to figure out how to beat the Bengals. The Bengals were really explosive this year. Jamar Chase over the top. As we've seen, teams develop.
That second year, you don't get the same looks that you got defensively, you know, after you have a lot of success.
Teams are going to learn.
Even like Joe Burrow said it, screw it, Jamar down there somewhere.
I mean,
and I think that just won't work anymore, really, because you're going to have coverage. And
if they don't fix their offensive line, I mean, Joe Burrow is going to get hurt next season. It's just that plain and simple. Their offensive line is horrendous.
And there's one name that I don't, you know, last name with the same name as a fruit, kind of struggled in the Super Bowl. I don't know if they're going to have to change him.
Oh, Apple?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a third-string cornerback.
I get it also doesn't help him going against, you know, the Triple Crown winner.
People would not be saying anything about Eli Apple if he did not get on Twitter and talk trash.
I know, but just watching him in the Super Bowl, it was like they throw the cup and there was Eli Apple 5-10 yards behind him.
That wasn't on that touchdown play. That wasn't Apple's man. Apple was in the slot.
I know. It was a weird switch.
In the picture, correct. It does look like Eli Apple is guarding Cooper Kupp. And I mean, he deserves it all. He was talking trash like he was some Super Bowl champion prior to the game.
Yeah.
And he lost. I don't think the defense is a problem for the Bengals. I do think they need a little bit of help attacking the quarterback because they couldn't get to Matthew Stafford really in the second half at all. They kind of took a Colts look at that.
But, you know, for the people who do bet and things, this was a prop bet that I don't think anybody had, was a guy who is in basketball shorts and slides gets your penalty.
I don't know what that guy was doing out there. He's probably going to...
Oh, yeah.
Hargraves.
He probably got locked. He got locked out before he could go get in the building on the Monday.
Did you see that Drake bet on Odell Beckham Jr.? He put like $500,000 on OBJ.
We don't talk about bets.
To do something, and he got injured like 8 yards short of his whatever. But yeah.
So.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's going to be lots of talk about it. Obviously, there's a lot of good teams left in the league. Not left in the league, but there's a lot of teams that are going to be good next season. Injuries happen. Quarterbacks are going to change. Draft picks are going to be made. We're going to be looking at this time next season and be like, wow, we were so wrong.
And every, I mean, it's been, once again, kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's been an outlier, but typically one of the teams in the Super Bowl struggles the next year. You know, like the Falcons have never quite gotten back to the level that they were when they were 28-3 up on Tampa Bay.
I think that Matt Ryan was never really
actually
like the
it was
same
New
quarterback.
England then, but Tom Brady.
Yeah,
and that's another thing too. We don't know what Tom Brady's going to do next year.
Except for I think the only team that's really like been the same team was really like the, obviously the Patriots, you know, but like the Bills in the 90s, the Cowboys in the 90s, really those dynasty teams were like the only teams I can think of. But a lot of those other losing teams, you know, they
typically
they go to
the losing team in the Super Bowl,
they
struggles the next year. So
when you look at Kansas City, they came out this season terrible, and they figured it out.
And, you know, everybody's like, well, we got a long time with this group. We got a long time with this group. Go back and look when the Colts won the Super Bowl, like 4 years later, they were struggling. And, you know, it doesn't take that long for it to turn around on you.
I mean, the Broncos in 2015 had the best defense in the league. And a quarterback, there's a lot of quarterbacks better than Peyton Manning in his last season.
And, you know, everybody can say, oh, well, the Rams are so great. The Rams will do it again next year.
I don't know.
If Sean McVay retires, which is a possibility.
And Aaron Donald.
I doubt he retires. He's only 8 years in. But, you know, Sean McVay retires, then now you've lost your offensive coordinator as well to the Minnesota Vikings. You've got Zach Taylor, who's a former assistant coach for Sean McVay, who's in Cincinnati. You know, suddenly you start kind of saying, oh, well, can the Rams? They had some older players on that roster. Can the Rams do it again? So it's hard to say year to year what's going to happen in the NFL. For goodness sakes, the Bengals won 6 games in 2 years prior to making the Super Bowl. So can a team that's struggling make the Super Bowl? Will we see the New York Jets in the Super Bowl?
No.
Who knows?
Jacksonville in the Super Bowl.
Who knows? Who knows where the Jacksonville Jaguars will be in 2 years? Who knows? If the Bengals can do it, because the Bengals, you know, have been a laughing stock of a franchise for years.
Yeah.
For years. I mean, they give their players Lunchables.
They don't even have an indoor practice facility.
They don't have an indoor practice facility of their own. You know,
they go practice at University of Cincinnati.
Yeah. So, you know, that anybody can do it in the NFL because the revenue is pretty equal. You have a very hard salary cap, which you don't have in maybe some of the other leagues like baseball. You know, you can anybody you want if you want to spend the money.
Baseball's pay to win.
Yeah. So, and NBA's kind of that way too, if you want to pay the luxury tax. So, but the NFL is structured so that those teams that struggle can make it up and, you know, beat the big boys.
And that's why the NFL is the biggest league in the world.
That's why everybody, you know, that's why it was the most watched TV show in 5 years, the Super Bowl.
I mean, yeah, you have guys like you said, the small teams. You have small market teams that have worked their way up, like the Bengals. You know what I wasn't a huge fan of LA being in the Super Bowl, you know, getting Von Miller and having Jalen Ramsey and getting OBJ and all that, but they've worked their way up. I mean, they were a team in St. Louis after they went to St. Louis in the 90s. Stan Kroenke brought them up, and they came up, and obviously they just won the Super Bowl 20 years later.
Yeah, but Stan Kroenke wasn't the owner back then.
I thought he moved to St. Louis.
No. It was Georgia Frontieri.
Oh, I thought he...
Yep.
Maybe he moved him back, or he moved him out of St. Louis.
He moved him out of St.
That's,
Louis.
Yeah, yep. That's what I was thinking.
He was a minority owner, and then when Georgia Frontieri passed away, he took over the franchise.
And became the majority.
And then moved
he kind of bought him out.
One tradition that I will never understand is that when they win the Super Bowl, they give the trophy to the owner.
Because they own the team.
I know, but like, I think they give it to the head coach or something.
Well, then usually they hand it off. I mean, the owner pays the checks, man.
Yeah. I mean,
hires the coach.
He did build the stadium.
The owner hires the general manager. The owner, writes the checks.
They did win the Super Bowl in the stadium. Yeah. So that was...
He brought football back to Los Angeles, for better or for worse. I don't think Los Angeles is a great NFL market, but you got to be there because it's the number two market. They did a great job at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was great.
I mean, it was like it was meant to be in L.A.,
bring it back to Indy.
But that's one thing you love about the NFL is that the Colts are competitive. The Bengals are competitive. The Kansas City Chiefs are competitive. These are small market teams. The New Orleans Saints are competitive. Yeah. These aren't huge markets. These aren't the New Yorks and the LAs and you know, some other leagues.
That's what it sucks.
They're the ones that are competitive. Like the bigger cities.
The NBA, because the Bucks are like really the only small market team that are super competitive because they had to draft a generational talent. But I think with the NFL, it's more equal, like you said, with the hard cap.
You have to
like
be that. You have to be a lot more crafty, right. I think, in the other leagues than the NFL. I mean, goodness, some of the biggest, bigger market towns aren't successful. Sorry, that was Owen's mic.
Well, thanks for joining us, Owen, as he's heading out now. He's always leaving us.
Bye.
Bye, Owen. But, yeah, the
he's
NFL.
He's got a bit of history.
Yeah. What a loser. But the NFL, I think, I wish other leagues would take their salary cap approach, because I feel like it would help teams become competitive to an extent. Like,
I think it helps the health of your league, too,
when you
look at what the NFL does. The NFL, I mean, heck, the NFL has had a really bad few weeks, really, with if you look at their kind of their PR stuff, they've had some bad weeks. What's been going on with Washington and all the other stuff. There's always some story that breaks, and, you know, the Miami Dolphins purposefully tanking and that investigation and all this stuff. And then, you know, allegedly purposefully tanking, the whole Brian Flores situation, the diversity allegations that the NFL doesn't take the Rooney Rule seriously, that they'll just run people through just so they can check a box and say that they complied rather than actually doing what the Rooney Rule was designed to do, which is to give coaches who are black opportunities, and instead just kind of running them through the interview, and you've already hired a guy. I mean, that's kind of the whole problem in what you're seeing with the Miami right now and that whole situation. But the NFL does all that, and it's still the number two or the number one watched show in 5 years, the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, it's just the best league. They make the most money. And views were up a lot.
Yeah, they had a great year as far as ratings, I think, across the board. The playoffs have been spectacular.
And I think that's really for the Super Bowl, because these two teams, it's the Bengals and the Rams. No one expected that going into the year. Tom Brady's not in the
Rams.
Super Bowl. People saw that. But the Bengals, no. And the Chiefs aren't in it. It's people like to see changes. People like to see difference. And they saw that this season.
Right. And, you know, you saw really Matthew Stafford get his due, I think.
A Detroit guy.
I think it's a win for the city of Detroit, too.
Oh, Detroit's about to put up a banner.
They're very happy that for Matthew Stafford, which I think speaks to the kind of person that he is as an individual. You know, the Bengals fans are very happy because, man, they waited so long for this. And, you know, as a Colts fan, I can relate to that. You know, when the Colts first made the Super Bowl, it was like just all those years of frustration just kind of floated away. And it was like, wow, we're a Super Bowl team. And then you win the Super Bowl, and that takes it to another level. And I think that's why now I don't get as mad, you know, when the Colts have issues or have problems or don't get to exactly where they think. I you know, they have a Lombardi, and I think that helps out a lot. Certainly it doesn't make it all right, but I think
they should have had more. Yeah. One. But I won't get into that.
But they got one.
They got one, yes.
And you know, that's a lot better than some of the other teams in the league.
Or even some don't even have experience going to the Super Bowl.
Teams like the Chargers who've been so close so many times and just can't get over the hump, or you know, the Lions, who, man, you just gotta feel sorry for the
poor Lions.
The Browns, you know, those fans are good fans, they're loyal fans, they're generational fans who you know, my dad was a Lions fan, so I'm a Lions fan. My grandpa was a Lions fan, so I'm a Lions fan. I mean, like, I think the NFL really builds that focus on family and football and, you know, all of those things, and then it's got everybody watching the Super Bowl at the end, which, you know, no other league can say that. You know, hardcore people are going to watch the NBA all season. Few may watch the playoffs. You know, they may get some casual fans in to watch the finals, but, you know, unlike those situations, or unlike the World Series, which is a series, or the seven-game NBA Finals, the Super Bowl all comes down to that one game. You win, you lose. And you know, the NFL does a lot of things right on that side of things. They do some other things that they need to take a look at, and certainly the league's always evolving. And you hope that the owners understand that as well.
Yeah.
And it's not going to last forever. You know, at some point, you'll reach a critical mass of people who are just like, no, I'm not going to watch this anymore. And they'll turn you off. And then, you know, you can't rest on your laurels. So they've got a lot to fix in the NFL, but they're in a lot better shape than Major League Baseball, where they are, or the NBA, where it is. You know, Adam Silver's a great commissioner. I think he really is. But the NBA's got some problems. So, you know, those sports leagues are nowhere near where the NFL is right now.
Then every single season, all these sports leagues are just adapting to changes, and that's what you're going to have to do. I know all these old heads were like, I don't want the rules to change and all that. For the game to remain the way it is, you have to make changes.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to change rules, and you have to add new things, and you have to take away old things. It's because no one wants to watch the same old game for the next 60 years.
That 17-game schedule kept more teams in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, and I mean, it was
teams, more eyes, more fans.
It's more football.
Yeah.
And another week of money and another just everything.
And I think, you know, Major League Baseball is struggling with that now by trying to add more teams to the playoffs and other things. You know, putting the DH across the league, stuff like that. I mean, all the leagues are trying to make these changes. And, you know, NBA did a couple of years ago, adding more teams to the playoffs, doing kind of the play-in tournament. It's just the NFL, everybody's chasing it. And there's a reason why everybody's chasing the National Football League. And it's
because it's the best.
Because they do it, at least on the game side, they do it the best.
Yeah, but there's a going a little bit now to hear Indianapolis. There was some news coming out over a quarterback in the town here of Indianapolis. Carson Wentz news, and I know we've talked about him a lot, but it does come out. It came out, multiple reports have said that the Colts are most likely going to move on from Carson Wentz in the next month, either via trade or releasing him. And a trade, obviously, his cap would be cleared completely. Releasing Carson Wentz would mean $15 million in the books for the remainder of next season. But the real question is, and I see reports like this, and I'm like, the Colts don't usually let stuff get out like that. They don't. The Colts keep everything really in. So me seeing something like that makes me think, is this really true? Because it wasn't really reported by the big Schefters. It was reported by the smaller. Obviously, these guys are verified. And then the smaller ones bumped it up, and the bigger ones like Bleacher Report and all them got on it. But it started with a small, non-verified account. He's an NFL reporter, but he's not even verified. Is that even truthful that the Colts are moving on from Carson Wentz? Because I don't think the Colts would have released that out there.
Well, one thing, I was listening to Jake Query, who was on JMV yesterday, JMV show on The Fan. And, you know, Jake Query pointed out Colin Cowherd's tweet about how this isn't kind of like a Colts-like move as far as Chris Ballard, who tends to be much more pragmatic, much more kind of let it play out, and then the impulsive owner, Jim Irsay, who is like, okay, we're going to make this change now, and I don't care what it costs me, we're going to make the change. And that's kind of Jim Irsay's perspective. So I think somebody probably fed that to Cowherd. And I think that was Jake Query speculated that it could have been Ballard himself, who is close to Cowherd. So, you know, things like that come out all around the league, and you have always, you know, Bill Polian was famous for no leaks, you know, when he was the GM of the Colts. And if he found out who leaked it, you weren't with the Colts anymore.
You got canned.
So, you know, there were they run a pretty tight ship over there at 56th Street. I don't think that Chris Ballard and I don't think that he and Jim Irsay are on different pages on this. I think that probably Jim Irsay's agenda is Chris Ballard's agenda.
Oh,
obviously.
I think Irsay has full trust in Chris Ballard.
You know, it's like, but here's the fact. I mean, you know, if Ms. Squire comes to me and says, John, this is what we're going to do with WBDG, Ms. Squire being my principal,
I say, okay.
Yes, that's what we're going to do. So if Jim Irsay comes to Chris Ballard and says, you know what, Chris, we have to trade this guy. I don't want him around. Then Chris Ballard has to find a way out of it. And so I think that whatever the agenda is, that Mr. Irsay's agenda is going to be the agenda of the Colts. And I think he's done with Carson Wentz. I think that he has not said it like directly, but he has definitely hinted around it, that he is ready to make change to make this team competitive. And I, you know, it'll come down to whether he believes that Carson Wentz can take them to the AFC Championship, the Super Bowl, or not. And personally, as a Colts fan, I'm okay with whatever happens. I am. I think Carson Wentz is a better option than some of the other options that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Colts decide to move on from him and take the hit now in order to maybe get someone better in the future, and they just don't feel like Carson Wentz is the guy, then, you know, and you have to stumble through for a couple years. I mean, they've already done that.
I just don't think that's going to happen. I think
Jim Irsay wants to win now.
Well, I think that's apparent.
Yeah.
Jim Irsay, I mean, he's known for Twitter. He gets on Twitter really late at night. He probably needs to go to bed. But he's been saying the chips are now going all on the table. Jim Irsay is willing to spend whatever it takes to get a Super Bowl. I think, I mean, he's starving for it, it seems like. And he was really mad the Colts aren't in it this season. And I think he knows the pieces are there, some of them. Obviously, they need to do something about left tackle. They need to get another weapon. They need to get a pass rusher. I mean, it's obvious what the Colts' needs are. But the core pieces are there. You have Buckner. You have Leonard. You have Moore. You have Blackman on defense offensively. You have Nelson. You have Kelly. You have Smith. You have Taylor. You have Pittman. You have pieces there. But you do not have a full core. The real question is, if you're the Colts, and I think this is obvious, if the Colts are not getting rid of Carson Wentz unless something else better is going to walk through the door. And I do not think a Garoppolo is better than him in this current day. I don't think there's no better quarterback out there that is available besides a Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers type that can come in and be better than Carson Wentz.
And you know, you can put up with as many billboards as you want.
It's not going to get him to come here.
Aaron Rodgers is not going to be an Indianapolis Colt unless the Colts are willing to give up some significant pieces.
And by significant, we need two first-rounders and a big piece.
And Jonathan Taylor, you know. I mean, that's the kind of pieces, or those are the kind of pieces, I can speak English. Those are the kind of pieces that they're going to want in Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers. And it's not a situation where Rodgers can walk away. I mean, it would have to be a trade.
And same with Russell Wilson.
Would have to be a trade. Same with Kyler Murray. I saw that crazy rumor.
There's no way we can get Kyler Murray because he is younger. He is right. Super young.
It's like you're not going to get that unless Kyler Murray's just like, no, I'm done. I'm sitting out. I'm holding out. You're never going to play me. You're not going to get him this year, you know?
Oh, no.
So the idea that there's just a whole lot of just really good options out there, there's no quarterback that's going to fall out of the sky unless Andrew Luck comes back, but who knows?
That's not happening.
That's not happening.
I'm not even going to talk about it.
You know, but even if Andrew Luck were to come back, what's to say that Andrew Luck would be anything close to what Andrew Luck was?
I mean, he hasn't played football in so long, and so, just, who knows?
You know, Peyton Manning's not coming back.
A 25-year-old Peyton Manning's not going to walk through the door. So
the Colts are just going to have to figure out a way around this. And if they want to extricate themselves in – Jim Irsay wants to spend the $15 million to get rid of Carson Wentz, he'll spend it. There's no question. Jim Irsay's agenda is Chris Ballard's agenda. So, you know, if Chris Ballard wants to continue to be employed here, this all goes back to Frank Reich. Mm-hmm. This was Frank Reich's guy that he wanted here. So do you give Frank Reich an opportunity with a full training camp, with all of this other stuff You give him the opportunity to make it work. I think that's going to be the question. And
I mean, that's what I've been saying all along.
At a certain point this season, you and I both said it, the Colts, the quarterback issue was solved, you know, because Carson Wentz looked really good until the wheels fell off at the end.
But I know, and as people act like it's, I mean, Carson Wentz did play terrible the last 2 weeks, don't get me wrong, but it's not all his fault. Reich coached two bad games. The Colts players have even came out and they thought they were in. So they let off, and obviously they weren't. But that's the thing. The Colts were, I mean, this team will be fine next season with Carson Wentz being the quarterback. They're still going to probably most likely make the playoffs. Their schedule was so hard this season. I know they got some big wins. They started out rough. They're probably going to start out rough next year. It's what they do at least every season since like 2012. Well, but the thing is, this team will be fine. I don't know if Carson Wentz can take them to the promised land. I don't know. He's going to have to show me. But at least I've been saying this even before the wheels came off. I said at least give Reich and Wentz one more year, a full training camp, full everything. Get Wentz an actual weapon that is not Michael Pittman Jr. in the receiving corps, and let's just see what he can do. That's all you can do. There's not a quarterback that is going to walk through the door that is better than Carson Wentz, not named Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers.
That's right. Yeah, Carson Wentz is maybe your best option. And I know Colts fans don't want to hear that because you've been, you know, Twitterized into thinking that Russell Wilson or
it's like a 5%
Photoshop.
It's a 5% chance that Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers walks to the door, and it's probably even lower for Wilson.
It's Photoshop. those uniforms aren't going to happen
because those two teams that they're saying Wilson and Rodgers, they both have good teams.
Yeah,
the Seahawks, I know they struggled last season, but Wilson was out for that. Whenever Wilson was healthy, they were playing fine. The Seahawks are a team that most likely will be in the playoffs next year if Wilson's there. The Packers, I think I'm now leaning towards Rodgers staying with Green Bay if he plays next season. I don't see a quarterback coming through the door that's better. The Colts need to really prioritize. I don't even know how to say
prioritize.
That. Yeah, getting a receiver that is not. I mean, obviously, receiving, they need a tight end who can catch the ball. I think Doyle and Hilton are both retired. I'm going to put that.
But even if they come back,
they're not that good.
they're not what they were. You know, Jack Doyle is not what he was 4 or 5 years ago. And certainly T.Y. isn't.
We know that.
I think the injuries have really slowed T.Y. down. And I hope that he retires a Colt. I mean, certainly I think, T.Y.'s certainly been an excellent wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. It's a shame that he doesn't have a Lombardi at this point, but that stuff happens. So we'll see where the Colts go. I'm interested to find out. I'm open to anything as a Colts fan, but I hope that they realize that maybe what they got is better than what's available. Marcus Mariota?
No.
You know, Jimmy G?
No.
No. You start looking deeper than that.
No.
You know, it's not good.
Unless, I mean, I hope they prove me wrong. Maybe they draft a guy. No. I mean, Carr is better than Wentz, but you're going to have to give up a lot to get Carr.
Exactly.
And the package to get Carr, then keeping Wentz, is not worth it. Because Carr, in all reality, Derek Carr, how many playoff wins does Derek Carr have? I think he doesn't even have one. Actually, because the backup won a game, because Carr was out that one
year. He's kind of in the same situation as Stafford was.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the Raiders are better than
Raiders
the Lions.
Raiders have been a little better than the Lions, but
it's just Carr has not had, he doesn't have any playoff wins either, and that's just the thing. It just, I think they need to just kind of focus on their team and the core, and if it doesn't work out next season, you address that position, and there's going to be...
Well, I think major changes come.
Oh, if the Colts struggle this season again, I think Reich is gone. I think Wentz is gone.
I don't think Ballard is gone.
I don't think Ballard's gone. But I think Reich and Wentz are tied together if they do contend.
And they should be, because this was the guy that Frank Reich wanted. Mm-hmm. He went and sold Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay on this.
Mm-hmm.
From everything that was talked about, the Colts were all in on Jacoby Brissett.
Huh, that's funny.
Yeah. And then they weren't. Because this was a... And frankly, on paper, it looked good.
What, Brissett?
No. On paper.
Oh, Wentz?
Wentz looked good. Because,
yeah, I mean, on paper, he had 27 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 400,000 yards.
But what I'm saying is, on paper, the move looked like it was a good move.
Mm-hmm.
Because Carson Wentz had the ability to be an MVP-level guy. I mean, he was that in Philadelphia until the very end when for some reason, he lost his confidence and Doug Peterson put him at the end of the bench. I mean, you would hope that as a competitor, now that Doug Peterson's in the AFC South,
you want to beat him.
that you not only want to beat him twice, but you want to show him what a mistake he made
mm-hmm.
when he puts you at the end of the bench. Because the narrative right now is that, well, the Eagles were right about Carson Wentz. Colts should have listened. But, you know, who knows? We'll see where this goes.
We'll see. But you're listening to the Sports Spotlight on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. Jackson White, your host here with John Easter. Owen Pooley joined us in the earlier edition of the show. He had to leave to do history. So, what a loser.
Had to go to class.
Like, who does that? But
no kidding.
We're going to switch topics here and talk about the Indiana Pacers, a team that was very active in the trade market last week. And ever since making a trade, they have not won a game. They're 0-2, but hey, we want them to lose. The Pacers now are just continuing to fall. They're 19-39. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs, thankfully. And they have now moved up to the fourth pick. Now, the fifth pick in the NBA draft is as it sits right now. Obviously, the lottery could affect things, but the Pacers as of right now have the fifth pick. They have Tyrese Haliburton, who is looking like a star in the rough. I mean, he has really shown that they can build around this guy in the game versus the Timberwolves. Haliburton had 22 points, 16 assists, 5 rebounds, 41 minutes. He could shoot it. He could pass it. I mean, he's a fourth in the league in steals, like total steals. Obviously, most of those are in Sacramento. But it's looking like Haliburton is going to be really good for us. They have Dorte is hurt now. So that sucks, but obviously we don't need him this season. Dorte has been playing well as well this season. And they have the Smith guy, Jalen Smith. He had 17 points, 12 rebounds in only 23 minutes versus the Timberwolves, a guy who we got for Torrey Craig, who didn't really give us too much. I mean, this team has the direction, as we did talk about last week, and now it's looking like they're going to have a top five pick. They have Tyrese Haliburton. Sadly, Goga Batate is still on the roster, but yeah, don't get me started on that guy. I talk about him every week, and it gets worse and worse. 19 minutes for him. He only had 7 points, 3 rebounds. He'll play 20 minutes. He'll give you 7 points, 3 rebounds every night, but I don't want that on my team. Anyone else, please take him and give us anything, a toaster, anything. Get him out of here. I just wish other people would play. Because I think Jalen Smith is better than Goga Batase.
You said a toaster.
It pains me to watch him play basketball. I'm going to a Pacer game Wednesday. If Goga's starting, I'm going to be so mad.
You're wearing your jersey, right? Your Goga jersey.
Oh, my, not? No.
So you're not Goga for
Goga for
Gaga,
you?
Gaga for Goga, whatever.
Like Valentine's Day yesterday, the Pacers released a Goga for you type thing. I wanted to puke, but yeah, me and my dad were joking and saying first Goga's gonna win the jump, catch the ball, and just pull up for three, and I'm just gonna walk out. But yeah, Goga, don't get me started on him. But
I think we already did.
Yeah. Ugh. Goga, just the name Goga.
Okay. Moving on.
But this team has really good direction. And I know that I want them to lose as many games as possible, get that highest pick, and go draft a Jaden Ivey. I mean, this team, they need a three. T.J. Warren's still in the mix. Who knows if he's ever – I think he's still in the bubble. He must be swimming in the pool or something. They need to go find him. But I'm excited for the future of the Pacers, and I wasn't 2 weeks ago, and now I am. Haliburton really looks like the Pacers won that trade, and they got a shooter in Buddy Hield who's on a contract they could move in the offseason.
Well – I think Woj talked about this. That the rest of the league is like,
shocked.
What are the Kings thinking here?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know the way everything broke out, the Pacers definitely ended up winning that trade because they got some pieces to move. They got Halliburton. They get, and they gave up Domas, who unfortunately had to go, and I miss Domas. But, you know, the upside is so much higher now for the Pacers with Halliburton, with a guard who can do as many things as he can do. And he seems to really want to be here in Indiana. Not that Domas didn't, but he really seems to want to be a part of the community. And you know, I think he feels probably like everybody in Sacramento did when they traded him. Why?
I think
you've kind of read some of the things that he's written and talked about. He's
like
cried. Yeah, right.
And he was like so upset because he wanted to be that Chris Webber for them. He wanted to be the guy in Sacramento. And he's coming here, and he wants to be the next Reggie Miller. He wants to be the guy that turns around this franchise, and that's what the Pacers needed. And sadly, I know Halliburton's only 21. He's going to turn 22 before the end of the season. But Sabonis wasn't going to be the guy to be the next Reggie Miller. He wasn't going to turn around the franchise. He could have been a piece to maybe win some playoff games down the road. But Halliburton gives you a chance to actually build around a guy. And then if you can get another stud in the draft, I mean, you're just skyrocketing, and I mean, lots of people, Roach, ESPN's been talking about it. The ESPN has talked about the Pacers more this last 2 weeks than, like, they ever have before. It's kind of cool. And, like, actually, like, you look on YouTube and, like, you see, whoa, they're talking about the Pacers? But people think the Pacers can have a, like, snap, and the Pacers are going to be good next year.
Right. Well, you know, the Eastern Conference isn't, like, oh, my gosh, the Eastern Conference is so amazing. There's not a ton of teams in front of you that you figure you can't leapfrog over with some good players. And certainly it's probably going to take a couple years for this team to build up into something. But, you know, if you get somebody good in the draft and, you know, we see more of a Duarte pick, more than a Goga pick from Kevin Pritchard, you know, who knows what this team could start building toward. You've got a championship level coach. You got some good assistant coaches, got good player development people in place. So there's no question that the Pacers went from being arrow down to arrow up for the future. We want them, like you said, you want them to be arrow down now, but the future definitely looks a lot more bright for the Pacers than it would have looked.
Oh, yeah, and they're just going to continue to go up. And hopefully, I just want to see Halliburton just develop and continue to develop this next couple weeks.
Well, and, you know, he's only been here a week now. But you listen to him talk about his relationship with Rick Carlisle, and that could be a very good relationship.
And he seems like he wants to play for Rick Carlisle. And it's coming out about Sabonis. He was going to leave after his contract was up. Sabonis, I guess, I mean, and this is what it said, Sabonis didn't feel loved here. I don't know why, because, I mean, we all love Sabonis. I mean, he was just a fun guy to root for.
Right.
But it's probably because Sabonis wasn't exciting.
But I don't think maybe it was the fans
that he was talking about.
I think the franchise wasn't necessarily in love with him.
Yeah, and I think they need to figure out if they want to love Turner or not, too. I think that's something they need to figure out, because he probably feels the same way, as much stuff is going on with him, trade talks for the last 8 years. But
I don't think the fans have ever embraced Miles Turner, and
no,
I don't think that he has helped himself in a lot of ways, but that's the kind of guy that Miles Turner is. At a certain point, you just look at a guy's personality and you just realize that's who Miles is. So you're either gonna have to love it or not. And certainly I love the way Miles plays defense.
Oh yeah,
I love his shot blocking ability. I love what he can do offensively when he's on. He can be a really, really, really good piece for the Pacers. And, you know, the Pacers have put their chips on him over Domantas Sabonis, who would also kind of be a really, really, really good
So you got to prove it,
situation. Miles. So Miles has to prove it now. And if he can't, then
he'll get flipped.
Yep, that's right.
And the thing is, you got a guy like Malcolm Brogdon. I know he will be flipped in the offseason. I mean, it's obvious. There's no way he's on this team started next season. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, he's a really smart guy. I think he's going to be into politics whenever he retires. He sounds like Obama. I mean, he is, and he's a good guy. He really is. He helps out the state, this the culture here. He does all kinds of stuff. But I just think that he doesn't fit this team. He never has, and I don't think he ever will. Especially if Halliburton's taking over the point guard role. That just Brogdon, I think, would be better as a two, but I don't think Brogdon wants to be a two. So I think Brogdon will be moved. TJ Warren's a guy who, it's rumored, the Pacers are going to get him back for cheap on a two-year deal, second year being a team option. So if he doesn't play well or still hurt. So that's another thing they're going to do. Obviously, they have two first-rounders. They have three second-rounders. I mean, they have pieces. It's just
They could really build a team that once again will captivate our city. Mm-hmm. And there's an opportunity right now because got a lot of Colts fans that are saying, what's my team doing on the other side of town right now? They're looking to glom on to something that they could be really excited about in this city again.
And I think just everyone was, after the Colts beat the Patriots, I mean, it was up there.
I mean, Butler's down right now. Butler. You know, it's just
IU struggling. Purdue is the only really good thing going for right now, for at least in Indiana sports,
yeah.
But now we're going to switch topics to IU. The Indian Hoosiers are in action tonight against the 15th ranked Wisconsin team, and that game will be at 9 o'clock on ESPN2. The 16-8 Hoosiers take on the 19-5 Wisconsin.
Well, here we go again. I mean,
the Badgers are a team that's, they beat up on the Hoosiers last time they played them, and now it's going to be at home for the Hoosiers. But this is a must-win game.
Latest bracketology that I've seen has Indiana as a possible 9 seed if the season ended today. But I think, as somebody pointed out in the Star, the season doesn't end today.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Hoosiers have to stay above 500 in the Big Ten. Rutgers is on the rise. You know, certainly a team that might steal that last bid if the Hoosiers aren't careful. I think Indiana has very quality wins. And if they get a win tonight, that helps their resume a lot.
I think if they can get a win tonight and just if they can beat Rutgers into the year, maybe get a win over Maryland.
But they did not look good against Michigan State.
They looked terrible.
And they just did not look good. And, of course, you had the debacle at Evanston with Northwestern, you know, a team that's really struggling this year, beat the Hoosiers. Of course, there's a reason why Coach Mike Woodson suspending 5 players from that game. And, you know, who knows for what all reasons. I've seen everything but bank robbery as a rumor as to why the Hoosiers suspended them. The Hoosiers, of course, the most prominent rumor is that it was weed-related. That was the most prominent rumor, but it is a rumor. Indiana swears up and down that that was not the reason, that it was for violating team curfew rules. That's what Indiana says, so you go by that. Don't go by the Twitter rumors. So it is a very interesting time for Indiana right now because, you know, if they could get a few more wins, they might end up where they need to be to get in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, Mike Woodson's not getting fired in this first year at Indiana. He's probably not getting fired his second year. Heck, they held on to Tom Crean and they held on to Archie Miller forever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's not in any danger of losing his job. But one thing that annoys me is, you know, these aren't his guys. These are guys that he inherited from Archie Miller. You know, it's probably been a learning curve for both of them. It's been a learning curve for them to learn who he is as a coach, but also for him to learn who he has as a player out there. And so you look at those things and you wonder, you know, on where the problem lies. Where is the problem? I don't think it's coaching. I think he's got some good guys. So you just wonder, at some point, Indiana, those players have to go out and do it.
Mm-hmm. And they haven't.
They haven't.
For a while.
Yeah.
And I just want to see what the recruiting class of Coach Woodson will be. We don't know yet because this isn't his team. So give it a couple years, and if they're still struggling, then I would assume they're going to make a move. But as of right now, I mean, there's no way
they're not going to fire Mike Woodson.
Oh, no. I don't see him getting fired for at least another three.
And you know, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff on Twitter about his coaching ability and why isn't he starting this player over that player? And, you know, well, in game, this was happening. Why didn't he make this substitution? And then, you know, they beat Purdue, and, oh, my gosh, he's the greatest coach ever. We're going back to the national finals, you know. And then you lose to Illinois. Oh, what's wrong with him? He can't coach. I just – the Twitter is toxic sometimes when it comes to that stuff, just like all the rumors that I just addressed, just like that stuff. You know, the way that Twitter has it, you know, Mike Woodson – alternately is the greatest coach in the history of high school and college basketball and the NBA and all this. The guy coached in the NBA. He coached the New York Knicks to the Eastern Conference divisionals, or did he get them to the finals?
No, it was a round two versus the Pacers.
But he coached, I mean, he had the Knicks there, and the Knicks have been, you know,
the Knicks.
We talk about owners, and that's not a good one.
Yeah.
So he was able to do that with the New York Knicks. So he can coach. I think Mark Boyle had a tweet about that this week. You know, how somebody had said, oh, the questions have been answered, whether Mike Woodson can coach or not. Well, Mike Woodson can coach. The guy's a, you know, he's a coach. So the question then becomes, can he reach the players? And, I mean, I think he can do that. But with what they're doing in Indiana, they just got to win some games. Mm-hmm. They've done enough to make the tournament right now. If the season ended today,
right now,
but the season is still a month long. We still have a month to go pretty much until Selection Sunday. So the Hoosiers have to, I think, get to 20 wins somehow to find themselves a lock. So they don't have to worry about the bubble. And it's going to be an uphill battle tonight, but there's nothing that they can't do at Assembly Hall. I mean, that crowd gives them extra push, and, you know, they'll be out tonight. So I think if you get the win over Wisconsin, who is not unbeatable, I mean, the Hoosiers had them down 17 on the road in Madison and kind of blew
what happened.
but, you know, Indiana, I mean, death taxes losing at Wisconsin. That's kind of Indiana's thing. Same with Michigan State, at least last most of the time up there. I know they've won a few at Michigan State. But the Big Ten's tough. We talk about that. But in order to be where I think people want Indiana to go, this is the kind of game you have to win tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've said this like several weeks before.
Many times.
Yeah.
You got to win, and they don't. So, I don't know. They always have a good track record at Assembly Hall, so hopefully they can pull it out.
Yeah, I think you put yourself in a situation now that you pretty much have to win what you got left to be assured
a lot
that you're in to avoid the play-in game. You know, if you lose tonight, now you're starting to get in the situation where you need some help or you need a good run in the Big Ten tournament, which will be in Indianapolis this year. So that's good.
So they don't have to travel far, at least. But you go across the other side of Indiana to Purdue. They're the 5 seed. They sit at a 22-4 clip. Obviously, they're going to make the tournament.
Yeah.
It just depends on their seed.
1 or 2 seed for them.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a very good game against Maryland.
Almost lost.
Yeah, watched that game. And there was some controversy at the end about whether the Purdue player fouled the Maryland player going to the hoop. Personally, I think it was a good defensive play. I think the guy, you know, he got there first and had the position, and then the Maryland player dove into him, which forced his arms down a little bit. And you're not going to get that call in the last few seconds at Mackey Arena. You know, when you're the road team, you're not going to get that call. So I think the Maryland fans are, you know, full of hay on that one. But, you know, the Boo Birds come out about Matt Painter every year, and, well, that's Matt Painter again. You know, Purdue's underwhelming, but Matt Painter just wins.
Mm-hmm.
He just wins. There's never any, I mean, never any doubt about whether Purdue is going to be where they need to be. I just get off his back, you know. he wins, and so this Purdue team, there's a lot of expectations. I think that they're a very, very good, solid basketball team, but even solid basketball teams struggle sometimes in the course of a season. We've seen it here at Ben Davis.
Yeah,
seen a solid basketball team struggle at times this season. So Purdue, the big thing is, just like Ben Davis last week, a week ago at Covenant Christian, they struggled, but they got the win. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to do right now. You just got to keep winning at this point in the season. Purdue's 21-4 now on the year. So another great year. And Notre Dame's having a very solid year, too, up there in basketball.
Yeah, I don't know the exact record. Purdue right now actually is 22-4.
22-4.
And that's even better.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, Purdue is the obvious team to beat. And it's going to be interesting last game of the regular season to see how you take them on in Mackey.
Yeah, I mean,
that's going to go probably.
That's why you got to win tonight if you're Indiana.
Yeah, so we'll see. But we'll talk about this more.
You know, another team that's doing real well is the Indiana women's basketball team, which is now.
Oh, they're ranked fifth.
Yeah, top five. Yep, top five team.
I think they lost a couple nights ago. I think last night, possibly.
Notre Dame is tied for the lead of the ACC right now with Duke.
What's the record?
Both 11-3 in the conference. Notre Dame is 18-7. They struggled out of the gate, but they've been really good in conference. Now, the ACC is down this year as far as what it normally is. Usually the ACC, one of the best conferences in college basketball, but they're a little bit down this year. But Notre Dame's right there with Duke in the ACC.
Maybe they have a chance to make the tourney.
Oh, I think they have more than a chance. I think that ACC is getting probably three or four bids, and I think Notre Dame's right there. Miami also there, 10-4. UNC, Carolina at 10-4 as well, 18-7. But, you know, just underscoring how difficult it is to win in these leagues. Duke is 13-2 at Cameron. Notre Dame is 10-1 at the Joyce Center. UNC is 13-1 at the Dean Smith Center. Miami is 10-3 at home. So it's tough to win
on the road.
On the road. Yeah. In all these leagues. And that the ACC. Wake Forest, 13-2 at home this season. It's just tough to win at home. Virginia, 10-4 at home. Virginia Tech, 10-3 at home. I mean, it just go right down the league. And so, anyway, that's Notre Dame basketball. For those of you who are fans of the Irish and Coach Mike Bray, who's been there for 296 years, I think, now.
Yeah, he's been there for a lifetime, to say the least.
He's been there a long time. And, man, you talk about a survivor. That's Mike Bray. I don't know how many times. He's probably got gristle marks on his rear end from how many times he's been on the hot seat up there. But, you know, he's fighting off the hot seat this year. I know a lot of people were saying, it might be time for Mike Bray to go. But, man, he's fighting it off again this year.
He's saying, not yet.
That's right.
Not yet, at least. But that's going to wrap up the show. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back this Thursday talking lots more stuff. And we'll see. Maybe more Colts news will come out. We'll see. But we'll see you then. Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you this Thursday.